a one success story that's literally very similar to what our lemonade stand models were. I mean, this guy ended up harvesting his business for millions of dollars. And here's the story. He, sharp guy, sharp person, family just like you, teenage kids, that was his age at the time. He had had some business experiences that weren't good. Financially, he had a lot of responsibility and very, very little income. And him and his wife were pretty desperate on what they were going to do. And they talked about it. They worked on what were some of the opportunities. Her solution was for you to get back to work, get a job with some of them, give you a paycheck. That was her solution. And he had always been a bit entrepreneurial. Anyway, they were just, both of them, very uncomfortable with what was happening to them. House payments were coming up, all the realities of financial pressures. And he said, why don't we take the kids, and they lived in Utah, Salt Lake Valley, and let's go up and spend a couple of days with their relatives in Montana, and just kind of get a change of environment and think this through before we make a final decision. So they did. They took off on this road trip. On the way to Montana, they did like we all do. They stopped for gas, and they ended up going into a little country gas convenience store. Filled up. They're in there, and they go to pay for their gas, and here on the counter are some cellophane-wrapped blocks of Rice Krispie Treats. And this was some years ago, so they hadn't seen it commercially. And the kids all wanted one. Dad bought them. They went merrily down the road eating Rice Krispie Treats. But before they left, he asked the person, where did these come from? How did you make these? Well, they said, we just put out some boxes of Rice Krispie Treats at the grocery store. The recipe's on the back of them. We went home in our kitchen and we cooked them up. We all liked them. So we thought, let's start selling them in our little store. I can't even remember the price he said, 50 cents for a little block. And that's how we started, the guy at the little store said. So they're driving down the road. His mind is just spinning. He's thinking, what can he do with this? He needs something to get going that he can support his family and get their financial house that's upside down back in order. And then he starts talking to his wife saying, And when he made this presentation to our students, and the two of them, husband and wife, were there, we're sitting in the room, just like you're hearing it. And I started talking to her about what I was thinking, and she wasn't agreeing with any of my thoughts. How do you think this is going to be a business that we can support our family with? He keeps talking. She keeps giving her opposition. And they go down the road that way. And then they go have their time. He never can let it go the whole time. He can't wait to get back home to start formulating what he's going to do with this, because they hadn't seen Rice Krispie Treats anywhere at that time. They get home. He says, okay, I have it figured out. We're going to start cooking our own Rice Krispie Treats here at the house. You and the kids are going to help me, and we'll wrap it. We're going to design our own little logo. We're going to call it so-and-so's Rice Krispie Treats. And that's the way he started. And they started cooking on the stove. And then he said, me and the kids are going to take them out and start going around to little stores like this in the Salt Lake Valley, and we're going to sell them to them. Well, as soon as they went to them, all of them said no, they wouldn't buy them. So being a creative thinker and finding flexibility, he says, well, what if I leave you 10 packages, and if you sell them, you pay me X. If you don't, I take them back and no harm done. And if you sell them, you're going to make twice what you're selling them for. The people say, okay. So everywhere he went, they would take whatever they leave. So they made a map, and they went out and started all these places, left quite a few of them out. They'd been cooking for days, getting this inventory ready. And then they came back to the stores. They get back there, and everywhere they went, where have you been? We wanted to see you. We sold what you gave us the first day. We've been out of it. We could have sold another 50 packages if we'd have had them. Oh, great. So they paid him. boy, that much needed cash, he hustled back, and now he becomes the crazy guy that goes into the grocery store and takes every Rice Krispie Treat box on the shelf, goes up to the checkout stand with a full cart of Rice Krispie Treats, and he's making the exact recipe that's on the back of the box. Well, this continues. This is long. He's about to burn down the kitchen. Kitchen can't handle this. And so there's actually a friend of his, either a friend of his or someone he knew, managed and owned the Marie Callender's restaurant. And so he thought, wow, they have a big commercial kitchen. So he went to them and said, I want to make you a proposal that I lease your kitchen after closing hours, and I'll be cleaned up and out of there before you get there the next day. And we'll pay you X to do that, to make it worthwhile for you. And so he went and bought bigger pots and did everything. He still cleaned out grocery stores. Then one of the grocery stores says, you need to talk to our Kellogg rep and figure something else out. This isn't working if you come here just taking all of our inventory. And so give me the guy's name. He gets the name. And he says, how can I? Well, they have big commercial packaging, they can send it to him. So he starts buying direct from Kellogg, and they start sending big packages of Rice Krispie Treats. And he's in there cooking away at night. He gets a whole crew, and it's just people that are out distributing these blocks of these treats all over. It just continues to grow. Then one day, he gets a call, and I'm the buyer for Costco. And we've seen your little treats around. We want to give them a test, but we want a lot bigger package. We don't want these little, we want packaged together, big block of them. And we'd like to test them in a couple of stores. So they did. Well, they just, same thing, flew out of the Costco stores. So Costco, hey, we like what we're doing. We want to expand it. But in order to expand it, you have to be able to provide us with X number of blocks of this on a regular basis. So now he's outgrown the Marie Callender. So he goes out, gets a warehouse, and now gets big commercial ovens and commercial stove, all the stuff commercially, and gets people in there that are expert manufacturing, processing of food and all that, and pouring his profits back into this thing. He ends up with this big operation, and he ends up expanding it. He's supplying Costco's all over the United States. He's shipping out thousands of these, and the business is just, in his words, a control with success. Good margins, the overhead wasn't that high, the cost of his goods were low, and he could sell them at a highly profitable rate for him and still leave. He had them in grocery stores. He ended up getting them all over the retail spectrum. And he had talked to his Kellogg rep, who he couldn't believe they were letting him do this, but they, no problem, just keep selling. You know, we're here to sell Rice Krispies. And he's buying in large volume. Well, so this is going along. One day he gets another phone call. He introduces himself, so-and-so from New Jersey. I represent, our company has worldwide treat offerings that we have treat stands, those wire stands that are in convenience stores with all kinds of selection of offering on them. We like your product. We want to talk to you. It's great. They come talk. They want to buy. We want to buy you. So he talked. Well, it's pretty good. Let's talk to him. So they're producing financial statements, doing all the normal things in that process, and they negotiate a price, and it's in the millions of dollars at that point. And so he just can't believe this is all happening, because it was a fairly short time from his startup till the sale taking place. So they negotiated a sale, and they were ready to close, I think he said, like next day or the next week, very soon, where they had their closing date set, and it was agreed, the price, everything. He gets a phone call from his friendly Kellogg rep, says, hey, I need to tell you something. We might have a problem. What's that? Kellogg's decided we're going to start packaging our own Rice Krispie Treats under our logo and our everything about us. We're going to put them in all our grocery stores. Wherever we have our products, we're going to sell them. And so you're going to have a problem. We're going to have a conflict. with you doing what you're doing and the company doing what the company's going to do. And, oh, now he's, oh, this, the whole world's going to collapse on him. He obviously has to disclose that to the buyers. And so he does, and he has the sleepless nights and thinks it's now all crashed in on him. The buyers said, that's interesting. So they talk about the detail. Give us some time and we'll get back to you. So they do, and he's just panicked. How's he going to manage through this? How's he going to find some way to get other products going through his line and all this? And they won't be able to use the Rice Krispie name in any way and all of this, the Rice Krispie treat. And the buyer calls back and says, we're okay with it. We think it'll help us. Having them put them in grocery stores everywhere. We're not in grocery stores. Our little convenience stands are everywhere else. We like your operation. We like your manufacturing. We like everything about it. We'll title it as a different name. And we'll have it on our stands all over where we have our operation. So we're ready to close whenever their date was. Whew, imagine. So they closed, and he had the harvest, and that's what they call that, the harvest. And that's really when most business people really get money out of a business. When they're operating it, it's taking so much to keep it operating. They're making a living. But to have a harvest, they have to sell it. And so he sold it, and their life was changed forever. And that's the Rice Krispie Treat story. Right off the back of a cereal box that he had seen, that everybody had seen. He wouldn't have ever been in the frame of mind to even try it had he not been so desperate. And just that happenstance to stop at a little store where the creative people who were there were cooking their own and sell them in their own little farm country store that triggered an event for him started. There are stories like that go on and on and on. Things, businesses that start through some kind of a need. Who knows the Disney story?